Welcome to the Intentional Living Center today. I'm Dr. Randy Carlson. Glad to be with you. Did you know that the video gaming industry is over $130 billion business?
Wow.
Impacting lives. And it's a big deal today. We opened the phone lines a few weeks ago to talk about the impact on families, and the calls haven't stopped since. In fact, we got some we're going to get on here today. This all began as a result of a question that came from one of our listeners in Arizona, a concerned, loving, caring mom, Lisa, with a 12-year-old son, video game. She's concerned it's impacting his attitude, and she wants to know what to do. And we'd love to hear your comments on this as well. 888-888-1717. This was Lisa's question.
I have a 12-year-old son who has always been very loving and respectful for the most part. You know, kids are kids as they are. And I just feel that now that he is really immersed this past probably 8 to 10 months into Fortnite, he is so much more disrespectful and lashes out more. He plays it off that he's laughing about it and it's a joke, but it's not. It's very hurtful and disrespectful the way that he is acting. And I think that comes back on us as his parents to really monitor him playing Fortnite, but you know, we don't want to feel like we have to take it away from him, but yet at the same time, I really think that we should. I would like your input on that.
You know, the easy answer, Lisa, is unplug it and it's gone. I'm into big, simplify your life, but the reality is interconnectivity, technology is here. It's a generational thing. I think it's easier for grandparents to say, just unplug it and move on, where we, as a parent, this is a reality. Your kids are growing up in a wired world and interconnectivity in the world. And so it becomes like anything in any generation. How do you manage it as a parent? How are you being intentional in doing that? And that's what we've asked you to join us with today at 888-888-1717. This is the Intentional Living Center. Let's go. Terry's first in Michigan with a comment. Terry, welcome to the program.
Hi, Dr. Randy. First, I just want to say thank you for all you do, and thank you for the opportunity to weigh in on this subject.
Appreciate it. I appreciate your call. It says here you're a dad of, three teens?
Yeah, I have three teenagers at home and a four-year-old.
All right. Do you also have gaming in your home?
Yeah, we do.
We're losing your connection there.
All right. I'm sorry. Can you hear me now?
All right, we're losing. I'll let you get reconnected with Sally, and I want to get you back on there. We'll do that in a moment. By the way, you're welcome to join us at 888-888-1717 is the telephone number. Let's go to line two. Welcome to the program. And who do we have on line two? Hello.
Hello?
Yes. And who's this?
This is Dan from Phoenix. How are you doing?
Oh, good, Dan. Welcome to the program. I just didn't have it on the screen here. I saw you, but not your name. All right. How would you weigh in on this?
Well, honestly, I feel that in this broken world, we come to a crux where parents come from different backgrounds. We have single parents. We have divorced parents. And so now the challenge of raising children in this day and age is very challenging. So many times we abdicate those roles of parenting to video games, and we can't control the content that comes through because we just sign them up, hand them a controller, and say, go on. It's gotten so bad. I remember Dr. Phil did an expose on it about a month and a half ago where this young boy, probably in his maybe tweens or early teens, he comes from a divorced family, so mom is working probably 12-hour days. One day, this boy decided to lock his mom out after a long day at work and refused to let her in until she made a Starbucks run for him, and he never leaves his room. And this just becomes so problematic. And as parents, we cannot abdicate our roles of being parents. It may be a much more difficult. We have to punish ourselves as parents when we punish our kids. If there is disrespect coming into them, we need to be Guardians of the Gateway. You know, Guardians of the Galaxy is a big movie right now, so we become Guardians of the Gateway. Guard what goes into the eyes, the ears, the mind. What are they receiving? Are we going to movies before they go see them? Are we examining the video games, talking to parents, other parents about what these games have contents for? So it's important that we need to be an active role. And, you know, it may mean that we need to cut back our hours on work. It may mean we have to cut the electronics. We have to unplug. But as the children, there's two sides in this battle. There's people for the Lord, people for the world. We can't let the world win in the battle for our kids.
I agree with you, man. Listen, Dan, I hear your passion, your voice, man, coming through, because we get one shot at this thing. Parenting goes, the years of parenting go by quickly, and turning our kids over to any sort of a babysitter like a video gaming, which it can be, I mean, it could be TV in the past, video gaming now, we don't know what's next. We can't abdicate the responsibility. Great message. Thank you, Dan. Let's get back to Terry. We got you on a better line now, Terry?
I hope so.
There you go. You sound good. Go ahead. You were making some good points.
Yes. As a parent, I believe it's important to show our children how to manage our time. Because as adults, it's important for us to manage our time. And if we're going to be successful at all, we have to manage our time with each thing that we do, and we have to be able to delegate enough time for each thing that we do.
Now, how do you do this in your home? How do you manage this with your three teens?
Well, and my 4-year-old, because my 4-year-old now likes to play a video game called Minecraft. So he's he's kind of, because he watches his siblings play once in a while. So what we do is we limit the amount of time that they play. We limit it to about a half hour of play time. And then after that half hour, they have to be involved in the family. And then it's a family unit. Because without that family unit, and everybody's off doing their own thing, and then the family's divided, the family's separated, and then it puts a hardship on the family.
So for you, you're putting limits on the amount of time. I wonder if there's some families who've just simply unplugged completely. They just don't have anything in their home. I'm sure there are. And how you manage that. We got the kids that are out at school or impacted by the stories of their friends or saying, hey, why don't you get on? I'd like to, you're not video gaming with me? Can't you hook up with me? You know, kind of a thing. It's got to put a lot of stress on families today when it comes to scheduling. But Terry, you made a good point. Teenagers, set your schedule. Be intentional. If you don't, you can lose your home. You can lose raising those kids. All right, we'll be back with more in just a moment. Don't go away.
Terry, just saw your status and thought I'd pass this on to you. Sounded like you could use a little encouragement today. Call me when you get a chance.
Encouraging others and living intentionally can be a real challenge. When you click like at our Facebook page, we hope you'll be encouraged to lead an intentional life every day. Share a kind word, comment on wall posts, and like Terry's friend, encourage one of your friends to become part of something great. Search for Intentional Living at Facebook. Click like and then pass the word on to someone you care about. Find Intentional Living on Facebook today.
Do you have a mother or father in your family that's creating division for the entire family? Now it says in Proverbs 11 that he who troubles his own house will inherit the wind. There's pain of broken family relationships. Whenever we get into the relationship in our family and say things and do things that create division, boy, you know, you think about the idea of inheriting the wind. I don't want to do that. And it can happen easily. Words that are spoken or actions that are taken, maybe unintentionally, but creating division in the family. And remember, the weakest person in a relationship always controls that relationship. So be intentional today. Do this one thing. Care for each other. Love each other. Listen to each other. And keep short accounts. And when you do those things, that's intentional living.
For more insight and encouragement, go to theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com.
You know, each of our intentional living minutes, like the one you just heard, is also available on Facebook. We put that on by streaming video every day, and I hope you'll stop by and take a look. Go to facebook.com/intentionalliving. Every morning it's there to just encourage you as you get started on your day. So I hope you'll stop by and let us know what you think. Also, this month for members only, you'll be receiving the teaching, How to Work Yourself Out of a Job into a Calling. In other words, how to make the job that you do, the work that you do, meaningful. Only 13% of people, according to Gallup, are not only engaged, but really enjoying what they're doing in the workplace. That's a sad number. It's a very lonely number. We can do better. How to Work Yourself Out of a Job into a Calling. It's this month's teaching. And by the way, I want you to know that it's our gift to you today for your very best gift to the ministry. If you'll share a gift with the ministry to stand in support of Intentional Living, we'll make sure that you receive this as a special gift this month. Just go to theintentionallife.com, theintentionallife.com. We started with Lisa in Arizona with a question she left on our comment line about her 12-year-old son, and this is just blowing the lines wide open today. Lisa, appreciate your question.
I have a 12-year-old son who has always been very loving and respectful for the most part. You know, kids are kids as they are, and I just feel that now that he is really immersed this past probably 8 to 10 months into Fortnite, he is so much more disrespectful and lashes out more. He plays it off that he's laughing about it and it's a joke, but it's not. It's very hurtful and disrespectful the way that he is acting, and I think that comes back on us as his parents to really monitor him playing Fortnite, but you know, we don't want to feel like we have to take it away from him, but yet at the same time, I really think that we should. I'd like your input on that.
Wow. Listen, thank you, Lisa. Lots of comments. I hope they're helpful. We always appreciate the comments at 888-888-1717. Robert, in Texas, I understand you have a comment for Lisa.
Yeah, and I've, you know, all the people that have called in and given, you know, whatever they think is the best advice for Lisa, I've actually do have some advice directly for Lisa. And before I go into that, I'd like to give an analogy of, you know, whenever kids are going through a problem or an issue, it's like they're just floating down a river, and we're quick to go out there and pull the kids out of the river instead of finding out and digging why they fell into the river to begin with. Mm. And that's what we need to do in most of these cases. The gentleman that said, man, he just cut off all electronics or take off all the kids away, the video games from the kids. Well, that's just pulling them out of the river. You know, let's find out why they fell into the river. And for Lisa, if you don't know what Fortnite is, I suggest you just get in there and play. And you're going to find that these kids are wearing a set of headphones with a microphone. And this is a reality-based game where they can become a different person. And in the game, it is kill or be killed. That's it. But deeper than that, some of the language that's used, some of the attitude that's used, it just gets into these kids' head that, man, they lost, so now they're just in attack mode the entire time and they're trying to win. Mm. So my advice to Lisa is she knows that this is a direct result of playing this, in this case, Fortnite. Well, sit that young man down and tell him, you know, we're not going to do that game, but in reality, that's not going to come into reality. We're not going to, you know, that's not going to be an extension of you playing that game. Make that distinction, then yes, limit the time played.
And I think, let me just add something, Robert, that triggered a thought. You know, if Lisa sat down with her son and she put the headphones on, and I don't know the games, I'm not a gamer. So that game or any game, and all of a sudden you hear and see, and then really talk to your son about, what do you think about that? What does that really mean? Beyond the game, what's the impact of that language? And talk about your concern, not just, I don't want you doing this, but you really have enough knowledge to understand the impact that that game can have on your life. In other words, you become better informed as a parent. You don't just pull the plug because you just don't like it. You don't even know what you don't like. You got to have enough knowledge to be able to talk to your son. I think that's the message Robert's giving us. Okay, Robert, got to move on. Thank you, man. Let's go to John in Arizona, who's a gamer at 50, I guess. John, welcome to the program.
Yeah, hi, Randy. I've met you before, and I appreciate your ministry.
Thank you.
The last caller hit on what I was talking about with headsets and stuff. You can set the gaming system to go through the audio of the TV so you can actually hear what they're saying, and so that really can help you. But, yeah, it's amazing what they'll talk about and how, what the language and the changes are going on there. And the other thing I was just going to say is that the demand on these games for achievements and to push, and if you don't fall in line with your team and whatever, then, you know, they can ostracize you just the same as at school. So there's some weird pressures there, too, that you don't really realize. If you say, get off the game. Well, I'm right in the middle of this thing. If I stop now, I got to restart the whole thing. So that's what can frustrate a kid, too.
Now, you're 50, and I'll put you on hold there, John. You're gaming at 50. This is something you've been doing. How do you manage it for yourself so it doesn't get out of control?
Oh, I have to watch it for the same reason because, again, you get because of those reasons. I don't actually do the headset anymore. I don't talk to people on it anymore. And that because it's just too much. Mm. And then, but the achievement part, I had to start to say, well, I have to say, okay, I can do this, but I can't do all of that. I had to make my, and so there's parts of the game that I can't even play because they take too long to play.
Mm. All right, very good. Sounds like you're at a train station there. Hey, thank you, John. Appreciate your call, man. Good counsel. He's in the middle of it. He does it himself. I do think the message coming through, parents, how knowledgeable are you of what your kids are doing? Gaming happens to be the topic today, but it could be anything. And in the wired world in which we live, with the interconnectivity in the world in which we live, if the kids are going into their own rooms and behind those game consoles, you don't know what's going on. They may have a parent button when you enter the room. They can hit the button and whatever they're doing changes to their homework, you know? I don't know. But if you're not knowledgeable what's going on, then you've really abdicated your responsibility as a parent, which is a key here. All right, let me get Lindsay on the line in Texas who wants to join in as well. Lindsay, welcome to the program.
Hi, how are you?
Good, good. Go right ahead.
Well, I just want to say I love your show, and I guess when I really started listening a lot last year just about being intentional and making that my mantra, we started reading your book about having a new kid by Friday.
Oh, that's Kevin Lehman's book. Yeah, excellent.
Oh, mm-hmm. Yes, Kevin, yes. And I loved it, though, and it was practical, and it made a point to say that, you know, if you sit down with your kids and they know ahead of time this is the standard that we're setting for our family and for you, and also to hold yourself accountable. But, you know, when they want to play that game or they want to watch that show, they want to go and do that certain thing with their friends or whatever, have you done X, Y, and Z that, you know, I've asked of you to do? So, you know, if it's something that maybe he's having so much time being spent on that, you know, is that have they already set down the kind of the boundaries to be intentional on where you're able to do this? And, you know, even for myself, I have 8 and younger. They're not into gaming. They do the silly Fortnite dances, but that's about it. One thing that my mom always told me, she would tell me, I trust you, but I don't trust Satan. And there's too many things out there that he wants to just slowly get you involved in that would keep you from doing the right thing. Mm. And if she feels like if it's the gaming, then I think that's, you know, you say, I love you, son, and this is where we're going to set this boundary. I mean, I know, really monitor even Disney and Mickey Mouse and you name it. I'm just one of those people, but it's because I love my kids and, you know, they're a blank slate. Even at the age of 12, there's still stuff that they haven't experienced, you know, further down the line. So I think, you know, you can set that standard and you do it because you love them.
And you do it because you know that their minds are absorbing all of this. I've heard it said kids are great sponges. They absorb everything. They're not good interpreters. In other words, they're not mature enough to be able to interpret what's coming in, separate reality from unreality, and how to deal with it in their lives. So parents, that's part of our job. Lindsay, thank you for your call. Good book, by the way, Have a New Kid by Friday, authored by my friend Dr. Kevin Lehman. Very practical, and Kevin teaches, as we all do here at Intentional Living, the idea that as a parent, you can either be on the permissive end, where your kids kind of run the show, you want them to experience everything and do whatever, you know, the world has to offer for them. I mean, that's the extreme. The other extreme is authoritarianism. I'm the boss. I'm in charge. That's it. And we're not talking about it. Now, today, that doesn't work so well. To be an authority, that's what God is. God is an authority in our life. He should be. He's not authoritarian. He's an authority. And as an authority, the boundaries are very, very clear. The expectations are clear, and that's what intentional living is about, knowing what God's expectations are and then doing the next right one thing. This is Intentional Living. Great discussion. Appreciate all your calls.
This is Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Parent Talk Incorporated and is made possible by the generous support of our listeners. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio. We are Intentional Living, and we'll be right back.
if you look at the book of Ephesians and the book of Colossians, the first half of both of those books really have to do with who we are in Christ, our position in Christ, about the power of Christ in the church. And the second half of both of those books have to do with the practical way in which we live. In Ephesians, when it starts in the second half, it says, therefore, as a result of everything that happened in our position in Christ, therefore, and then he goes on and Paul talks about how we're to live in our marriage and how we're to parent our kids and how we're to be in the workplace. And by the way, that's an excerpt from this month's teaching, 6 Ways to Give Lasting Purpose to Your Work. And I share in this teaching for members this month these 6 very practical things that you can do to turn work into a calling, into a passion. And if that doesn't work, then you need to stop and say, am I where God wants me to be? And when you become a member of Intentional Living, which means you support the ministry each and every month with your faithful support, you'll receive a brand new coaching CD from me, including this one this month. And then coming up next month, we'll be talking about the power of overcoming anxiety intentionally in your life. And then the following month, another topic, and each month, a brand new teaching from me to you coming right to your home. So if you're not a member, come and join us today. Just go to theintentionallife.com and click on donate. And by the way, if it happens to be a $30 a month commitment or more, we're also going to be able to send to you, as a way of saying thank you, the Intentional Word Chronological Bible, all 66 books of the Bible in chronological order. Very practical and exciting book to read, the Bible to read it this way, plus our One Thing wristband from Intentional Living. Just go to theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com. Wow. You know, we get, after a program like today, our lines light up, you know, with people leaving comments, and we'd like to reflect back on those from time to time, encouraging you to share your thoughts because we're in this community together. Well, many of you responded, many, to Carla, had a parenting question, and in case you missed it, I want to share it with you and then share some of your comments to help Carla.
My 13-year-old, they go to a small school, and there's 4 girls that would be friends, and what's happening is, and I know this isn't common among girls, but I don't know how to coach her on this. I was not this kind of kid at all, and my husband and I don't know what to do. There's 4 girls, and it seems like between my daughter and one other girl, every once in a while, they're deciding that you're not one of us, and then completely exclude her from things, and you know, like they're on the same team, and then it's like, okay, so I'm supposed to just do things by myself. And again, it's a small school, so you know, during recess, she'll try to walk over by them because normally they're friends, and they just walk away. And what's very hurtful is the fact that for the first 9 years of her life, the one girl who would be the popular one that everyone wants to be friends with, they were best friends. They were, you know, close. And then there's another girl that's come on the scene, and she's more the best friend now, and my daughter's had to work through that. And I've seen her show an ugly side of how, well, if she's going to take her away from me and not share the friend, I'm going to do that. So we've kind of worked through that, and she's accepted the fact that she won't be the best friend anymore, but we don't know what to tell her to do with this.
Well, we talked to, responded to Carla, had a lot of calls. Many of you left comments. We'll share some of them here. Let's start with Michaela from Michigan.
Dr. Randy is talking to a woman right now about a daughter and a friend group situation. And from a different perspective, I'm not a parent, but I am the oldest of 10. And I just thought, like, what an incredible opportunity to teach her daughter that her self-worth does not lie in her friends, and kind of look for other ways to, like, build her up. And instead of being so consumed with maybe this friend group, looking for other ways to reach out with girls who are also on the outside. I don't know. I just thought this was a really cool experience, and I wanted to give my 2 cents. I hope you have a great day.
All right. Thank you. Here's Nani from Texas.
Hi, my name is Nani. I'm calling from Texas. I want to say, tell your children to have their heart guarded always, and nobody can ever hurt your feelings unless you allow them to hurt your feelings. And that is encouraging. Practice it and try it. Don't be so, let everybody hurt your feelings. Always have your heart guarded so that that doesn't happen. And then you just be the best friend that you can be to everyone and anyone.
I, too, went through a similar situation. I was actually bullied as a child. And life has a way of really getting the best of you, especially in such formative years. But God has a plan through it all. And it was through much love and much help through my parents and much prayer through my parents and those that really cared about me. And yes, life is still a struggle, sometimes even to this day, but I know who I put my trust in, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's hard, and it's hard for a teenager to accept that, but he was rejected too, and he knows rejection unlike any other. And while it might not help right now, and those answers are very cliche and very Christian answers, in the end, they will be very helpful to her because she will be able to put her trust into someone who actually went through rejection more than any of us. And so I just wanted to leave that with her and that I will also be praying for her too.
Thank you. That was Hannah from Arizona. I think we have time for Teeter from Michigan.
Hi, this is Teeter from Michigan. Just want to make a comment about, you know, catty girls. My daughter went through a lot of the same things several years ago. And my wife and I just sat down and talked to her and said, you know what? True friends are hard to come by, but you know who they are when they stick with you through thick and thin. It didn't really help a lot at that time, but it did sink in. And she found out that her life doesn't depend on what other people think about her. The love that Christ showed us, and when she has a strong Christian faith, everything else seems to fall into place. I know at that young age it's kind of hard to talk them through that, but with patience and love, it just helps out a lot.
We got the smartest audience in America. Intentional Living. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. Appreciate your participation. This is all about figuring out what pleases Christ and doing it. We're not perfect people. We serve a perfect God, and every day we get to get up and do the next right one thing. And he's a God of forgiveness and restoration and refocus, and that's a great blessing. By the way, if you missed any part of today's very interesting program, you can hear it again on demand at our website. Go to theintentionallife.com. See you next time from Intentional Living.